And the word will stand alone. If you put the word in your heart, if you plant it in your heart, the word will go to the part of your life that is in disarray because it's living and because it's active. But I love that the word, you can tell that it was written by different people because there's different pieces of information that are in some accounts. And then you know, in Matthew, we're going to read the triumphal entry in Matthew. But when you go to Mark, Luke, and John, there are things that you will see about the triumphal entry that you don't see in Matthew. So it's the same account, but in each book, there's different information in there. There's details about what really happened on that day that you may not get a real clear picture unless you read all four of them. And so we're going to compare two different sections here. So Matthew chapter 21, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. And it says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. So right here, what you see is very detailed instructions. And we see that laced all throughout the Word of God. God will give you instructions. If you don't know what to do in your life, I encourage you to seek God because God will give you instruction. That is one thing that God is known for, is instructing His people. Now, you have got to be a sheep. You've got to work and practice being in the presence of God. Practice slowing down. Practice quieting yourself so you can hear His voice, so you can feel what He wants you to do. But God instructs His people. If you're in a place in your life and you say, Pastor Kelly, I don't know which way to go, quiet yourself. As David said, I quieted myself as a weaned child. I encourage you to quiet yourself enough where you can begin to hear and feel God's will and His voice in your life. Because He will give you instruction. He will give you instruction. The instruction will not always make sense. The instruction will not always be something that you're going to like, but it is going to be the very best for you. So we see that here. He told His disciples, He told two of them, go on to the village just ahead of us. There's going to be a little colt there. Untie it. If anybody says anything to you, you tell them that the Lord has need of this colt. Okay? What does the Lord need from you today? What does He need from you today? Is there something in your life that God is trying to get you to come to a place and you've just not been willing to get to that place yet? Is there something that God keeps bringing to your heart? I need you to do this. I want you to do this. This is what I want you to do. And you keep on just one ear and out the other. See, what does God need from you today? If you're real religious, you would say, well, God doesn't need any of us. Well, no, He doesn't. But you know what? God needs people to be His hands and His feet. If nobody listens to God, then how is He going to get some things done? God's not going to go against your will. Everybody has a free will. That's why He says in the Word of God, now you choose this day what you want. Do you want a blessing or do you want a curse? Do you want life or do you want death? Because see, what we have in life is a matter of what we've chosen. Now, do people go through difficult times in their life? Absolutely. You know what you've got to do in a moment, in a season that's hard, is you've got to keep on choosing God. God, things aren't going the way that I want them to go right now, but Lord, I'm choosing You today. God, I choose You today. It was so cute. This past Monday, I was ministering to the women in the jail, and I was asking them, can you hear God talking to you? Can you hear His voice? And this one sweet, sweet girl, she said, Pastor Kelly, I have been really trying to hear God's voice. And she said, I've really had a hard time. And she said, until the other day when I finally got through to him, she goes, I don't know if God's front desk staff was busy or what. She said, but I was really having trouble getting a hold of him. She was dead serious. And she said, I don't know if he was short-handed or what. She goes, but my request finally went through, and I finally heard him. And she said, and after I heard him, I told him, God, thank you. I know you've been so backed up with with requests from all of us, but thank you for getting mine finally. And I just thought it was funny, but I thought at the same time, you know, the Word of God tells us, come with childlike faith. You don't have to have a PhD to be a saved believer. Amen. But you got to have a heart that loves God. And so Matthew chapter 21, we've just read in verse 21, chapter 21, verses 1 and 2, we hear the instruction of Jesus. And then in verse 3, he says, if anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away. What does God need from you today? I can tell you one thing that he needs from you is your obedience. Your obedience. Your willingness to do his will. And you may think that that's very simple, but very few people are actually willing to do the complete will of God because it makes you change. Makes you do things that you don't want to do. You're not going to wake up in the morning and just feel saved every morning. How many of you have ever woken up in a rotten mood and you just decided you were going to be terrible that day? Okay, that's what I mean. You're not going to wake up every day and feel saved, but I've got news for you. You better wake up every day and choose to be saved. I told the women in the jail, I said, I get saved every day. I commit my life to God over and over every single day. I'm not sitting here living off of my seven-year-old self's prayer when I hit my knees when I was 7 years old. No, I make a daily choice to follow him, and it's not easy because many times it goes against what I really want to do and how I really want to act and how I really want to conduct myself. But because I'm a saved person, I put down most days what I really want and I do what he wants. So what does he need from you? Now let's go to Luke chapter 19. We're going to read it in another book. Luke chapter 19. We're going to look at verses 28 through 31. We are talking this morning about Palm Sunday. Many times I don't preach about things on their exact day because I don't like to be predictable, but I also don't want to raise up a group of people that has no idea what certain things are. Palm Sunday marks the beginning of Holy Week. It is the time where he entered into the city to knowing that he was going to be beaten, bruised, arrested, crucified, resurrected. Here's the day it started, Palm Sunday. Luke chapter 19, verse 28 through 31. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him that the Lord needs it." And so in this account, the author details no one had ever ridden this little colt. Back then, you don't do it now, you don't just get on an animal that's never been ridden and expect that to go well for you, because it's not going to. How many of you ever rode a horse and a donkey and them things? That don't go well for you if you're going to try to start that shenanigan just on the fly. You better be able to teach that thing, don't buck me. be bad. Don't run off with me. Don't jerk me around. Because that's exactly what they're going to do. So no one had ever ridden this little colt. Jesus was about to do something that no one had ever done. And that was give his life, a completely innocent, perfect person, giving his life for people in exchange for eternity in heaven. There was no other way for that to happen. If there was another way, they would have done that. But there wasn't. There was no other way. And so, back in the day, this donkey symbolized humility and peace. And I ask you today, do you have humility and peace in your life? Are you haughty? Are you arrogant? Are you easily offended? Are you puffed up? Can anybody tell you anything and you just accept it? How are you today as a person? How is your character? I'm glad, Billy. I love Billy. How are you today? How are you? See, because Christ, he could have came in on whatever he wanted. But he made sure that he came on an animal that had never been ridden. That animal symbolized peace and humility. What was he saying? I come in peace. I am humble. What does the Word of God tell us to do? Imitate him. I don't know a lot of humble people. And I myself am not the most humble person. Y'all are a hard crowd this morning. We're going to keep going. In those times, kings rode war horses when they came to conquer. So here's the King of Kings, and he's coming in, and he could have decided to ride anything in there, and he chose the lowest of low to come in. He's on the donkey. Kings, when they come in war and they come to take over, they would ride in what a war horse was, and that was how people knew we're about to have war. But when they came in peace, they rode a donkey. And that's how people would know that there wasn't going to be any wars going. Okay, the king's riding a donkey. We're going to have a peaceful day. Jesus, same thing. He came in peace. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 15 through 17. I want to talk to you for a moment on peace. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. So we have Jesus, and he came in peace. He represented peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He says, I'm going to give you peace not as the world would give. Peace is described, the God kind of peace is described as the peace of God that passes all understanding. How many of you know that there's things in this life that have happened in your life that you to this day you do not understand? On a bad day, you may go back to those things and you're thinking, how did that happen? Peace. Verse 15 says, let. That's a permissive word. You have to allow it. You have to let it. You have to tell it that it's okay. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Now, Jesus came in, and one of his things that he did was he came in peace. He brought peace. You know what I see a lot of? Chaos, trauma, a lot of negativity, and a huge lack of peace. A huge lack of peace. How is your peace today? Are there some things that you're unpeaceful about? Do you have some things that's trying to steal your peace? Because I want you to understand that having peace in your life, that's a matter of a choice that you're going to make. You get to choose whether or not you're going to have peace or not. That's not on somebody else. You can't say, well, Brother Jimmy really ticked me off, and because of him, I'm not going to have any peace today. No, I don't care what Jimmy did. I can use him as an example because he loves me so much, he wants to vote me in as the president. If I use somebody else, Rocky, they may get mad and quit. Your peace depends on you. And if you don't have it, you let it go. And you need to understand that. Because the Word of God says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Not only let it be there, but let it rule. What does that mean? Let it have authority in there. When something comes in and it tries to nick you, that peace of God that's ruling should say, no, we're not going to lose our peace today over this. Is it a big deal? Yeah, but we're still not going to lose our peace about it. You have to let peace come in, and you have to let it be the boss of your life. How many of you can get yourself irritated in less than 5 minutes? How many of you know the things to think about to get yourself in a bad mood? You don't even need help. I know exactly what I have to think about to get myself in a bad mood. And it's funny, I can't even remember what I had for supper last night, but I can remember what somebody said to me 10 years ago. I remember what they were wearing. I remember what they said. I remember who their mama is. I remember where we were when they said it. I've added a few things over the years. How many of you following me? Okay, because see, I'm going to preach where we live. I want to know if you got peace living in your life today. Because if not, I'm just going to tell you, and this is not something popular that's going to get me brownie points, but the Word of God tells you, let the peace rule in your hearts. That's on you. And that ain't something that anybody else can do for you. And I hate that because I'd like to pass the buck on to somebody else and blame them for my lack of peace. But at the end of the day, what I got to realize is I let it go. I know, Brad. Gosh, I'm sighing over that too. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. I don't know what God's calling me to do. Well, one of the things that he's calling you and everybody else is he's calling you to a place and a position of peace in your life. In your mental health, in your marriages, your child rearing, your on the job with your coworker that you can't stand. See, if God's called you to one thing, it is specifically a place of peace. And you choose whether you're there or not. And be thankful. And be thankful. And be thankful. Here's another one, verse 16. Let another permissive word. What does that mean? It's your choice. It's your choice. You're going to have to let it. Let the word of Christ dwell. Dwell, what does that mean? Live, not just vacation, but dwell in you. Now here's an adjective, richly. Not in moderation, not a little scrimpy, little business over here, but the Word of God tells us, let peace rule in your heart and let the Word of God dwell inside of you richly. What does that mean? That the Word of God, if you're going to put something else inside of you, nothing else can take the place of where God's Word is supposed to be. Nothing else. Nothing else. And when everything fails you, everything disappoints you, everything doesn't work out good for you, the Word of God will be the one thing that will never fail you. His Word doesn't return void. His Word doesn't fail. What God said, He will do. Amen. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now, what I want to ask you today is, here in this passage, He came in peace. How are you doing with peace in your life? And if you're not doing well, here's what I need you to get inside of you so you can change it. If I can't get you to understand it, it's not going to change. But peace, or the lack of, that is on you. That is a decision you made. Nobody can make it for you. Oh, well, you don't know what so-and-so did to me, Pastor Kelly. You know what? I got my own rap sheet of stuff people done did to me. And you know what? Unfortunately, Bobby, the Bible tells me, too, that I got to get over it. I don't like it. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to. Why? Because God told me to. And if I really love God and I really want to be in His will, that's exactly what I'm going to do. How many of you, God has been so good to you, the last thing on earth you want to do is disrespect Him and dishonor Him. Yeah. Amen. I really have gotten to the point in my life, I want to do His word. And if I've got to forgive a bunch of jerks, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Because God will bless me when I go and bless me when I come. As long as I do His will. Where are you with your peace? And is the Word dwelling up inside of you? Get the Word inside of you. If you turn on a song, I guarantee you in this crowd right here, if I said, okay, I'm going to prove my point. Don't tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart, I just don't think it understand. Come on now. And if you tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart, what's the next part of it? It might blow up and kill this man. See? Okay. See, we all know that. Amen. All right. I can't sing worth a darn. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. I was really one like me. Okay. You better get the Word up inside and moving and being active up in your life, because what you have just proven to me and everybody in Facebook land is you have the ability to get things up inside of you. We just sang a Christian song and we just sang a country song. You got what you need to be able to live this part of the Word of God out. Now that's going to be your choice. But I would build your life on the Word, because everything else is fleeting. It's right, Bobby. And nothing is dependable except for the Word of God. That's it. Go back with me now to Matthew chapter 21. We're going to get to the meat part of this. Meat and potatoes, Marianne. I love it. It keep you good and healthy. I don't know what's been going on with me. I've been in an eating frenzy for like 3 days. Me too. I'm like, oh my gosh. If I don't stop, that Easter romper isn't going to do good. Going to be tight in some places. Matthew chapter 21. We're going to go back to the triumphal entry. Matthew chapter 21. We're going to pick up at verse 4. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Verse 6. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. Here's the little donkey. Notice the donkey is not bucking Jesus. any other donkey would have, I guarantee you, especially one that had never been ridden. What does this tell you, man? Jesus had authority over everything. He could have just done whatever he wanted to do. Yeah. He chose to do what God the Father said was necessary. At any point in time, he could have just been like, these people are ungrateful. They're awful. They're sinful. I don't want to do this for them. He knew what and who he did it for, and he did not regret it, and he did not back down from it. Verse 7, we already read it, but I'm going to read it again. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Everybody that got your palm leaves, get your palm leaves out. Okay. As Jesus was coming, here he's coming. What did he do? What happened? He gets on this donkey that no one had ever ridden. People, they start putting their coats down. They start spreading the palm leaves out for him. What does a palm leaf mean? A palm leaf was a sign of victory. It was also a sign that whoever they were spreading them out for, they were welcome there. Okay? So what we got is we got people, and they are celebrating his coming. Okay? They are welcoming him. See, everybody's got the palm leaf. Everybody's got their thing. You're either going to welcome Christ or you're going to deny Christ, and that's going to be your choice. And you may say, well, of course I welcome him. Are you welcoming him with your deeds? If somebody gets a magnifying glass and they just start looking at your life, are they saying, okay, this one here, this one's a Christian. Ooh, this one here. Now, they go to church every Sunday, but there ain't nothing up in their life that's saved. Because, see, it ain't going to do you no good to come up in church unless you're living the life. See, I'm not getting you saved. I'm not keeping you saved. I can help you. But when we get up to heaven, God's not going to be like, well, Kelly, you got them all. That's great. No, you've got to work out your own salvation. If you make it in, it's because of you. So they welcomed him in. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna means save or Savior. Save us. We welcome you here, Jesus. Save us. Help us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Their cloaks and their palm leaves, that was a sign of honor. They were acknowledging him as the Messiah. They welcomed him into the city. Says that the whole city was stirred. Verse 10, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred, and they asked, who is this? I pray that hearts are really stirred. I pray that hearts are stirred, because what the devil tries to do to people is get them numbed over where I'm okay, you're okay, nothing really matters, God will be okay with this. Let me just tell you, there's nothing new under the sun. If God said in his word that he's not okay with certain things, that still applies today. Are you saved in here this morning? Are you a believer? Are you truly saved? If you died today, where are you going? And if you don't know, you better find it out. And nobody can do that for you but you. People are leaving this life unexpectedly. They are getting up in the morning. They are putting their clothes on. They are telling their husband or their wife or their kids, let's go eat at so-and-so tonight. They never make it. Where are you going today? If today was it for you, where would you be? The pastor side of me is concerned for people. How do you treat God? Is he something that you can just take or leave, depending on whether or not you've got a battle going on in your life or not? Are you numbed over to him? Can you feel him? Can you hear him? The whole place, the whole city was stirred, and they asked, who is this? I have a question for you this morning. Who is he to you? Who is he to you? It don't matter who he is to me. It doesn't matter who he is to Brother Angelo. It doesn't matter who he is to this. Who is he to you? That's what matters. Who is he to you? Can the devil talk you out of having a relationship with God just depending on what kind of mood you're in? Is the way that you look at God just, unless everything's going right in your life, you don't believe in him or not? Who are you? I want you to shake yourself enough to where you know. Because there's too many people and they're intoxicated and they don't know whether they're up or down. Who is he to you? Who is he to you? Now let's go to Luke chapter 19. We're going to read this and we're going to read it. And we're going to have some more details that we didn't have in that. Luke chapter 19, verse 37. Luke chapter 19, we're going to start at verse 37. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. How are you when you're praising God? Do you praise him throughout the week at all? Is praise just something that you do on Sunday morning? On Sunday morning, are you even doing it? I had somebody in the pandemic call me, and they were so offended. And they said, Pastor Kelly, I'm just offended because so-and-so had their nose out of the mask during praise and worship. And I said to them, I know, Jimmy. Don't ever wonder any why I'm a little out there. Because I have to be the one that takes these type of complaints and still be sane after. And that's a stretch for me. I said in my head 1,000 things probably in that 1 minute. And finally, you know what I said, Moni? Why are you looking at so-and-so during the praise and worship? I don't care if it's a pandemic or not. Who cares if Buckethead's nose is out of their mask? What are you doing? You're not praising. I don't know about y'all, but boy, when the pandemic hit, I didn't care whose nose was where. My hands were up because I needed God in a big old way. Let me tell you, we got a pandemic of our own with society. We need to be just as concerned. The whole town was stirred. They began to praise him. Loud praises. Loud praises. I love when I say, has anybody got a testimony? Nobody raises their hand. What's the matter with you? God ain't done nothing good for nobody? See, I don't believe that. This isn't a getting on to you. This is, I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you. What? Be on fire for God. Love him with everything you got. Trust him with everything you got. He's the only one not going to let you down. Only, amen, Marianne. I'm going to keep reading. Verse 38. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. There's always a Pharisee that wants to make a judgment call on what everybody else is doing and what's going on. I encourage you not to be one of those people. Verse 40, I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. What did he say? This is where we get this famous part of this verse. If you won't praise him, the rocks will cry out and they will praise him. And what I'm asking you today is a rock having to do your job? You were made to praise him. You were made to glorify him. Let everything that has breath praise God. Let everything that has breath praise him. It's hard to get people, Michelle, to be motivated to even come to church. Let everything that has breath praise him. If they won't praise me, the rocks will cry out and praise him. Is a rock doing your job? Is a rock doing your job? I ask you that today. I'm going to keep reading. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. I've never seen this until this week. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. I want to speak to you a moment. Jesus can sympathize and empathize with you. He has felt everything that you could ever feel. That's why he came down and he dwelled among us, so he could know us, so he could relate to us. Everything that you've ever gone through and you've heard over, he knows how you feel. He can relate to you. Don't let the enemy come in and make you feel like you're so alone. Let me tell you, you've got God with you when you have nothing else. And there will be times in your life where that's all you have is him and that's it. Let me tell you something. That is all you need. That is all you need. Stop looking and thinking and looking at everything that you don't have saying, well, God, I need the... Look here. You need God and that's it. You need Christ and that's it. That is what you need. And when you got him, you don't need nothing else, because everything that you think that you need, if it's really what you need, he will make sure you have it. Amen. As he approached Jerusalem, he wept. When he saw Jerusalem, he wept over it. Now, this was not a normal cry. This isn't a, I'm going to shed a few tears. When he saw Jerusalem, the word of God says that he wept. In another translation, they used a Greek word for weeping, and it was kaleo, which means intense sobbing. Intense. When he saw Jerusalem, the place he would be crucified at, when he saw it, he wept. He had the most of intense emotions when he saw it. He wept. He sobbed. When he saw it. Don't tell me God doesn't love you so intensely. He does. It says here, and then he explains why he was sobbing. If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. Jesus knew that they were not going to accept him, that they would reject him. The only thing that could ever bring them peace would be standing right in front of them, and they would reject him. He knew it. And he sobbed because of it. He sobbed because he knew that the very thing that he came there to give them, they would not accept it. The very people that threw their palm leaves down and took off their cloaks and welcomed him in, just in a few days later, they were the very people that said, "We don't want him. Crucify him. Let the murderer go." Is that how your life is? You're loving God one minute and cursing him the next. You're in church one minute. I say something to you that don't just sit just right with you, and you gone the next. You better figure out your life. And most importantly, it's not even y'all. Y'all got to figure it out too. I'm talking to all the other folks that are probably watching me on Facebook Live because I done ticked them off. They don't want to see my face, but they still want to hear the word. I'm going to make sure they hear it. You got to get your life right with God, and that is not an easy thing. It's not easy to work out your own salvation because you're going to get dirty with it. You're going to get dirty with it. How many of you have done some flower beds this week? I haven't. I hate it. But I'm thinking about it, and you know what's keeping me from doing it? The fact I know that's a dirty job. Frank's like, "Do you want to help put some potting?" So no. I don't want no flower bed. I want rocks. I ain't got to do that's why we got rubber mulch out here. I don't need any more things to work at. He wept. They did not realize that their peace, their deliverance, their solution was right in front of him. He came to bring eternal peace, not a fleeting peace. And when he saw Jerusalem, kind of just all settled in, and he just sobbed. Will you miss Jesus when he's right in front of you? There's a song, the Crab family sings it. And one of the things that it says is, when the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me. Will you miss Christ when he's right there in front of your face? Oh, I'm really going through a battle. I'm really going through a storm. Look here, I know that you are. I know that you are, and God knows that you are. God is still God. Don't miss what's right in front of you. Keep him in front of you. Go with me to Matthew chapter 27. We're going to look at verses 21 through 26. Here's Jesus. He's gone through all sorts of things. He's with Pontius Pilate, and a decision has to be made. He made his triumphal entry. He had his sobbing. He's arrested. And Pontius asked them, now there's a murderer, and he's an awful person, and his name is Barabbas. And then there's Jesus, and he's innocent, and he hasn't done anything wrong. Who do you want us to let go, the murderer or this innocent person? These are the same people that welcomed him and celebrated him. Why are we talking about this? Because I'm going to keep this so raw and so real, because this is where we all live. Humanity right now, and it's not going to get any better because the day we are getting close to Jesus coming back, people cannot handle other people in any type of way. They will cut them off so quick. Man, when somebody says something bad about somebody, in just a second, they're done with them. I don't care. I've had relationships with people decades long. You say one thing that don't agree with them, that's it. How many of you have ever experienced that in your life? Okay, let me explain something to you. It is not right to be that way. You need to be the very best version of you every time that you can, every moment that you can. Are you going to always get that right? No, you're not. There's going to be days where you fail, and you fail miserably. You know how many people are out of God's will because God sent somebody to speak correction and they couldn't handle it? You know how many people God has said, this isn't right and you need to change it, and bam. You know how many church splits happen because people get into disagreements and they can't work it out? It's bad. The very people that loved on him was the very people that rejected him and turned on him on a dime by Friday. That's how quick people can do that. I'm not talking bad about humanity, but I am talking reality about humanity. And here's what I need to tell you. There's going to be times in your life you are going to simply have to do something, and it's going to take everything that you got. You're going to hate it, and it's going to just suck. That's not politically correct, but that's a word that I can use that we all understand. Paul's like, yep. Preach it, PK. I'm going to. Whether you like it or not. There's going to be times in your life people are going to do that to you. You are going to have to overlook it. Overlook it. Ooh, I hate overlooking things that people do. It takes a little piece of me that's not quite saved yet, and it makes it come in line with the Word of God, and it doesn't feel good, but it is right. Overlook, overlook, overlook. I've had people say, I'm not going to go to church there anymore, Pastor Kelly, because so-and-so's there and I don't want to see him. Well, I don't know what you're going to do in heaven, because God will probably make them your next-door neighbor. Don't tempt God. I had a problem one time, Moni. This is no joke. This is no joke. I had done somebody wrong. In my very early years, we're talking 18, 19, 20 years old, okay? I never made it right. God told me to make it right, and I didn't do it. I bought a little tract home over here on this part of town. And as God is my witness, he moved them people in right behind me. Reap what you sow. I got to see them every day. You know what I learned? Overlook people. Make it right with people. Because if you don't, Kelly, I'm going to deal with you in such a way you're going to be uncomfortable. We was neighbors for probably 7 years. And it was uncomfortable. I would look to see if they were outside. And if they weren't, I'd go outside. If I wanted to be outside and they were outside, I just stayed in that day. Why? Because I was immature. Can you see in your life where you have some immatureness? Some people would rather forfeit a pretty day outside as just to go make it right. I wish I could preach about something else, but I do have to preach about the reality of life. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Pilate asked. And they all of them. The word doesn't say all for no reason. When it says all, that means all. Every last one of them. They all answered, crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Kill him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they all shouted all the louder, crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Don't tell me you can't overlook somebody that's irritated you. Don't tell me you can't walk in forgiveness. Don't tell me you can't shake somebody's hand because they ticked you off. Don't tell me you can't just say, you know what? There was a misunderstanding. I hate this part of the word, Mindy, because this part right here makes people either get it right or keep failing in life. And you don't got a pastor that's not going to bring it out. I'm going to bring it out. Why? Because I want to see you do amazing things in your life. I'm just going to tell you what will get you there. This is the type of behavior that will get you there. Last place for me this morning, Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to look at verses 3 through 5. What was the character of Jesus? I believe that before he even got on the donkey, he knew what was ahead of him. Before one palm leaf was put on the ground, he knew. He knew. See, he started a week off. There's times where you know you're going to have a hard week and you're just dreading it. You know what? Learn how to enjoy every day, even when you know it's going to be a hard one. God will give you so much grace in those hard days. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. God knows that you've suffered. He knows. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Verse 4. Surely, he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was crushed because of our sin. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. He was punished so we could have peace. And that's why the word of God says, now let peace rule in your heart. That peace cost him punishment. He was beaten, crucified, tortured for you to have peace. But you get to choose, do I have peace today? Is me and all my personalities going to walk in line with the word of God that says I can have peace and have it at all times? The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. It's not a we might be, we there's a potential. No, we are. That is a state of being. We are. If you will get to know the word of God and put it in your life and say it. See, you can all sing my achy breaky heart on a dime. Can you speak the word when the trouble comes? When you get a report from the doctor that you don't like, can you say, by his stripes, we are healed? Can you say it? Can you live on it? Do you know it enough? I want to talk to that person in here today. You're having trouble keeping your peace. You're having trouble because you are letting it go. If that's you in here this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand. Because see, I've given you tools here today that's going to help you to be able to let the peace rule in your heart. If you've been having trouble, it seems like every time you try to walk in peace, something comes up, gets you aggravated. Look here, stand. Respond to that part of the word. God sees that you're losing it. And he's saying, I gave it to you, but you're going to have to choose to keep it. You're going to have to choose peace, and you're going to have to let it rule. Let it rule. And y'all can take your palm leaves home. Because when you look at them, I want you to know every day you're either going to choose to celebrate him and welcome him in your life or not. It's a choice. It's not a once-in-a-lifetime choice. It's a daily choice. Daily. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over people in here right now. I speak to the peace that you gave us, God, and I tell it to get in there to rule. Lord, when we want to choose to not have the peace, Lord, I ask that you'd bring this message back to our memory right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that your sheep, they hear your voice, and a stranger they won't follow. Lord, right now I speak to that peace and I tell it to wash over them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, it's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. And Father God, I ask that you'd help us. Give us grace when we fail to walk in peace and to live in peace right now. Father, Lord, for the people that are on Facebook, God, right now I ask you to stir them. I ask for a stirring. Father God, I ask for a drawing right now. Lord, I ask for offended people. God, I ask that you'd bring them to wherever you want them to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, there is a box of food for you. We love you. We love helping your family. They're all the same, so if you'll just follow Sherry, you're going to get the first one on the end of the tables. And we will not have church this evening.